Good morning, Lord of Life. Please be seated. It's good to be with you again in this 500th anniversary of the Reformation that was started in Wittenberg when I posted my ideas on the door. And ever since, you've been studying my ideas and sharing them, and especially these ideas of word alone, grace alone, faith alone. Thank you for doing that. But today, I want to share with you something that's very close to my heart. And it always was important when I shared it with my children. Every year, Christmas was the most important thing to me. And so I want to share with you some of my thoughts about the shepherds, interspersed with the scriptures, of course. And there were many in that country, shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. That was a mean job, keeping flocks by night. Common sense calls it low-down work, and those who do it regarded as trash. But the evangelist Luke lauds the angels because they proclaim their message only to shepherds watching their flock by night. These were real sheep herders. And what did they do? They did what shepherds do. They stayed in their station and did the work of their calling. They were pure in heart, content with their work, not aspiring to be princes or nobles, not envious of the mighty. Next to faith. This is the highest art in a life, I believe, to be content with the calling in which God has placed you. I have not learned it yet. Who would have thought that people whose job was tending unreasoning animals would be so praised that not even a pope or a bishop would be worthy to give them a cup of water? It's the very devil that no one wants to follow the shepherds. The married man wants to be without a wife. The nobleman wants to be a prince. It's, if only I were this, if only I were that. You fool, the best job you have is the one that you're in now. You cannot have a higher station. Do not say, if only I were. Say, I am. A young woman who's always thinking to herself, if only I were someone else, will end up with a bad husband. Look at the shepherds. They were watching their flocks by night, and an angel of the Lord came and made them apostles, prophets, and children of God. Caiaphas, Herod, and the high priests were not deemed worthy. If it were up to me, I would rather have been one of those shepherds than a high priest at the temple. And then the scripture says, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were afraid. The field was filled with light, dazzling light. Not the town, but the field was lit up. Why didn't the angel go to Jerusalem? There were the temple and the high priests, all those ordained by God. Why didn't the angel go to them? He went to Bethlehem, a dung heap compared to Jerusalem. He didn't even go to Bethlehem. He went to the fields outside Bethlehem. And fear not, said the angel. Now, I have feared many things, as you well know. I have feared death. I have feared the judgment of God. I have feared world powers. I have feared hunger and the like. But the angel announces a Savior who will free us from our fears. And of that freedom, not a word is said about our works or merit, but only the gift that we are to receive. For unto you is born this day, that is, unto us. For our sakes he has taken flesh and blood and born of his mother, that his birth might become our birth. So that we can say, I am a son of God, I am a daughter of God, myself. This is the way to observe this Christmas feast that Christ be formed in us. It's not enough to hear this story with a heart closed. I must listen not to a story, but to a gift. If I tell you that someone on a certain mountain has found $1 million hidden under a rock, you'll say, "What's that to me?" But if you're the one who has picked it up, you will be joyful. What is it to me if someone else has goods, honor, and riches and fame and a wonderful family? That doesn't touch my heart. But if you hear that Christ is yours, that takes root and you become strong so that to you, death and life are the same in faith. And then the scriptures say, "This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Do you know what this is? This is God's wedding, the wedding of heaven and earth. Where is the castle for the wedding? A cow stall with a manger and an ox and an ass. A fine bridal bed that is, but the angels aren't ashamed. And the only present you need to bring to this wedding is a happy heart. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, an innumerable multitude. There are more angels in heaven than blades of grass in all the gardens of the world. And all those angels in heaven, no one accepted, saying, "Glory to God in the highest." What a shame that every Christian isn't preaching daily this good news. When all the angels in heaven are playing it on organs and pipes eternally. But the angels had no bigger congregation than two shepherds in a field. But those two were filled with joy too great for words. And we who hear this message, "Behold, I bring you good news," we never feel one spark of joy. I hate myself at the many times when I see him lying in a manger at the lap of his mother and hear the angels sing and my heart doesn't leap for joy. Yes, we should all despise ourselves that we remain so cold when this word is spoken to us over which all people should dance and leap for joy. We act as though it were some frigid historical fact or some story that does not matter, as if someone were simply telling us that the weather has changed. And on earth, peace, sang the angels. The kingdom of heaven is a proclamation of peace and grace. As the angels sang that he should be the savior of the whole world to free all people from their sins. That he has done and he is still doing. He's not the sort of Lord who fights with a sword. He rules with the gracious word of peace. For that reason, he's called Jesus, which means God saves. The Savior who helps his people to turn and be saved. This is fair, dear, and precious assurance to the troubled and tormented, whose consciences are laden with sins, that to them and to us all, a child is born who will rule and vindicate, who will help rather than punish and destroy. And goodwill to all. Those who hear the angels sing, who know and receive the baby Jesus and give the honor due to God, they are like gods to their fellow men. Peaceable, kind folk, glad to help and counsel anyone. When God is honored, then are all people friendly, without hate and envy, each regarding the other as greater than oneself, and say, "Dear brother or sister, pray for me, and I will pray for you." Then the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go down to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." This is a great miracle, that the shepherds should have believed this message, they might easily have thought to themselves, are we two shepherds worthy that the whole host of heaven should be marshaled for us and for all the kings and priests on earth that they are passed by? I know I have appealed. I would have appealed to common sense. I would have said, who am I compared to kings and angels? But the shepherds were strong in faith. And when they realized they were worthy to be spoken to by angels and to hear every angel in heaven singing a song just for them, they believed. Isn't this a great wonder? Our God begins with angels and ends with shepherds. Why does God do such preposterous things? He puts a babe in a crib and our common sense revolts and says, could not have God saved the world some other way? This Christian faith is foolishness. That it says God could do anything, and yet that God becomes as weak as a baby to save the world? And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, just as it was told to them. Oh, that's wrong. We should correct that passage to read, they shaved their heads, they fasted, and they put on monk's robes and joined monasteries. Instead, we read, the shepherds returned. Where to? To their sheep. Oh, that can't be right, we say. Didn't they leave everything and follow Christ? Must not one forsake father and mother and family, spouse and child to be saved? But the scripture tells us that they returned and did exactly the work that they had been doing before. They did not despise their calling, but took it up again where they left off with all faithfulness. And I tell you, no bishop on earth has ever had so fine a shepherd's crook as did those shepherds that very night.